Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me is manager Jacob, who's actually more so going to take the reins on this episode once we get to the interview portion. So
yeah, I've been called co-host for a long time, Sarah. I might update my Instagram bio.
To just host?
Host. You could update
I've never said it's like host and co-host.
I don't actually have that.
It's like co-host. It's like co-host means okay, no, it's not like host and co-host. It's
no.
Like co's. Co is in like.
You're right.
Together.
I take it back. We do this together, but I, like you said,
the training wheels are coming off.
Yes.
You're getting to really lead the
So if this portion. Episode sucks, skip ahead and check out the next one, but we'll
but
see.
But still rate it 5 stars. But with that, what are you eating or drinking this week?
Okay, Sarah, I actually checked at a restaurant close to me, no surprise, East End.
Classic.
Although they have a few different locations around Toronto, mm-hmm. Tabouli. It's a Lebanese restaurant.
Tabouli?
Yeah, Tabouli.
I love that place.
Oh my God, so good.
It's so yummy.
Yeah. Okay, I hadn't been in a little while. I used to get lunch there all the time, like takeout lunch. But we went the other day, checked it out. They have some of the best cocktails in
really?
The city, I think. Yeah. They have like this specialty cocktail list that's like all like different takes on mojitos. And I had this one, I think it was called the Habibi. And it was like, I was like, first of all, fun to say.
There's a Tabouli near here. Maybe that's where we have a meeting after this. Maybe we should go have a meeting at
that's
Tabouli
where I was.
After.
That's where I was.
Oh, that location.
It's also
oh,
a cool,
so
nice,
good.
Like little neighborhood spot. But
it's
also
so
it was, so, like I said, it was a take on a mojito, but it had pomegranate molasses in it, which I guess
I have had that drink before.
Really?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yes. Two summers ago.
I've never had pomegranate molasses, but I guess it's like a pretty big
yeah.
ingredient used in salad dressings and cocktails and
yeah.
other stuff in Middle Eastern food. And I was just like, well, let me try that. Guess what? Amazing. Well, I guess you already
yeah.
know.
I know. I had it two summers ago because yeah. That's why it's so yummy. I love that's one of that's like an underrated place where it's like it's not until someone brings it back up that I'm like, oh my God, right, I love
yeah.
that restaurant.
Yeah.
That I should add into my rotation.
And
a little
speaking
bit more
like
often.
Going off of I think you were talking about last week, restaurants that have like big portion sizes.
Huge.
Huge.
So good for sharing.
Oh, amazing for sharing, amazing for like having leftovers the yep. next day or later that night type of thing.
Yeah.
I had a great experience and a good cocktail, so I'd recommend it.
I love that.
What
well,
about you?
I just wrote down tequila sodas.
Oh, really?
In my, if you all followed my ins and outs of 2023 into 2024, I said vodka sodas are out, tequila sodas are in. Vodka's out, tequila's in. Why? Tequila's an upper. I'm getting, in my old age, a little bit more tired as I go out to
the
bar.
Is that true?
Yeah, tequila's the only alcohol that is not a depressant.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's something about the agave, and I don't know.
Spitting agave facts.
Don't ask me. All I know is, whenever someone says, what do you want? I go, the upper, please.
Does a bartender know
no,
what that means?
No, my friends. But like tequila is an upper, allegedly. I heard that from the internet. So
I'll take your word for it.
You can fact check me. I might be completely bullshitting. But for me, it's an upper. Like my personality is up on tequila. Vodka, it gets questionable. And I've also been drinking vodka for so long. I've had a, it's just been like vodka sodas forever.
You get tired
and
of
it's
it.
A good base for a cocktail, but like we're trying to change it up. I'm not a big gin girl, so naturally tequila and good tequila. I'm not like,
okay.
I'm
I was gonna say because you could mess around with some like bar rail soda and like
if they have like another like I usually don't ask for the bar rail tequila if they have like another like level. I'll ask unless it's like I'm at the Wheat Chief and I'm just like whatever.
Give me whatever
tequila they have. But
well, there are some like places like that that you do want whatever they're gonna give you.
Yeah. So tequila though, and so I want to start like mixing in like tequila cocktails into my repertoire.
Okay, we'll toss some pomegranate molasses in there.
I know I should. I'm pretty good with vodka based cocktails, but tequila ones that'll be my next step. And some mezcal, make a little smoky.
Yeah.
So
nice.
We'll see. It's a hot tequila 2024.
Okay. Apart from hot tequila, what are we watching or reading this week, Sarah?
Okay, so when we recorded this, last night was the AFC Championship where Taylor Swift went on the field with Travis Kelce. I'm literally giggling, like, talking about this. I think I have watched. I was, like, in the NASA control room. I had my laptop, my phone. I was watching every possible angle of their interaction on the field. I know everything they said to each other now. I've got every iPhone to a nice camera.
I did notice that you added a photo of them to your weekly photo
dump
on Instagram.
Absolutely, because you know what? My weekly photo dump on Instagram really needs to represent what my week was.
Yeah.
And that was my Sunday. I just spent my Sunday, well, after the game, like, giggling on my couch, looking at everything. And I saw this tweet that was like, the way I care so much about this, like somebody give me a lobotomy. Like that's how I feel
it was
right
nice.
Now. It's like, I care so much. And it's like, I don't know why. Anyways.
It is like watching an episodic series that's released every 100%. Week. And you're like, oh, how's the relationship going to be developed?
Like the
which new characters are coming in?
I know. Who
are
else
we going to get a kiss?
Who
are
else is
gonna...
in the box? Like, yeah. Oh my God, we got an I love you. Oh my God, we got so much.
The sweetie? So much what did he say? Sweetie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what I watch. I can't even say I watch a show or read a book for 3 hours. I just watched every possible
there's
angle.
There's a lot of content. I feel like they probably quadrupled the press pool just to have enough camera angles to like
100%.
Catch
the
every
best
moment
was,
of them.
Everyone's like, who are you? I'm the camera operator that can't stop smiling. So there's this like one angle where whatever, they're like smiling at each other and kissing. And this one camera guy has like a beat, like he's just like he like smiling at her. It's so funny. I was like, that's me. Anyways, so it's like, how many times do I watch those videos? Yes.
Okay.
I've just watched them 1,000. How about you? What were you watching?
Well, okay, speaking of something that you watched and a real romantic comedy, you talked about it. This is probably our third week in a row talking about this because you
they
talked
should
about
start
it
paying
twice.
Us.
I went to the theater with Haley. We watched Anyone But You.
Oh my God, you sound really disappointed in it with the
No, it was good. Okay. It was good.
I was
listen,
like, did I give a bad recommendation?
No, one of my favorite romantic comedies or just movies in general, actually. I'll put it up there, maybe
movies
top five, is Wedding Crashers. And I was like, this has Wedding
it has
Crasher
Wedding Crashers
vibes.
Energy. Yeah. I will say the reason I liked it is because I feel like a lot of rom-coms have, and I was thinking about it this week, a lot of rom-coms have like, I don't know, they stay a little bit more PG, whatever. But even like
right.
all the jokes about like cocaine and heroin yeah. and stuff he did when he worked at like Goldman's or
yeah.
whatever. Like, I just think
like
that
you tried a little speed.
It went a little bit like more
it
the old
it wasn't
early
playing it safe.
It wasn't playing it safe. It was more the old early 2000s route where they
there
would
was a lot of
unhinged
not playing
things.
It safe with like costume or lack thereof
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
there's a little
a
bit
lot.
Of like physical comedy that's
a
pretty
lot
funny
of physical
as well.
Comedy. I know. So you liked it. Good.
I did like it. Yeah, and I think that you're right. It's Glenn
Powell.
Glenn Powell, you're right. I think he is underrated. As a leading man.
And a charming leading man that we'll see in rom-coms to come.
And I will give a shout out to seeing a movie in the afternoon on the weekend. You did that too, didn't
yeah,
you?
It's
oh
amazing.
My God. Okay,
it's the
that's
best.
Probably...
it's the best. It's the, I feel like it's peak dopamine, actually. It's
I did go
best.
Wild on the Coca-Cola freestyle machine.
Which you
do. I don't even
want
to tell
you.
You
what
don't it was. Want...
I, every time I see that machine when I'm at the theater, I think of you now.
But okay,
I...
the Coca. Here's my thing with a quick aside on the Coca-Cola freestyle machine.
Okay.
I saw this quote from Anthony Bourdain, it was attributed to Anthony Bourdain anyway, that said you have to go through some bad meals at restaurants to really find the hidden gems.
So that's you.
And listen, with the Coca-Cola freestyle machine, you have to go
it's
through some
thing.
Of the bad combinations to really find the gems of the
it?
Mixtures. This was a miss this week, and I think I went three different kinds of Sprite. So regular Sprite, it was like cherry Sprite and peach Sprite, and then I topped it up. I was like, let's do a little punch vibe, so let's get some ginger ale in there. And then I added something else on top that was like a Fruitopia kind of juicy drink, and
it messed it up.
There was a lot going on, a few too many flavors.
Yeah, and a little bit too many different types of carbonation going on in
it was
there.
A miss, but you know what? I'll try again.
You'll freestyle... In the future.
Sarah, what about what we're listening to this week?
So because all I can do is kick my feet and watch videos of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, I also, shocking, only listen to Taylor Swift. But with that, it's because it's Grammy season.
Right.
And our girl is going for Album of the Year again. We were trying to make her become the first artist to get Album of the Year 4 times.
Do you think she's going to do it? I don't really know.
Like, I think so.
Who else would challenge?
Guts.
Oh, Olivia Rodrigo, like, can wait her turn.
But I think Midnights more so encompasses what an Album of the Year represents. And so I think there's a, I don't know. I'm also extremely biased. So I'm re-listening to Midnights a lot because it's not actually an album that's in my rotation. I tend, like, individual songs are. So I'm just listening to Midnights, getting hyped up. She's also never won Song of the Year. She's been nominated a million times, and it's a Songwriters Award. So. Yeah. I think people are hoping that also. Anyways.
Okay, this is a big few weeks here then.
Well,
for the
not even
Kelce,
few weeks. In 1 week.
Swift.
We are going to get Taylor Swift at the Grammys, possibly winning Album of the Year, all these other awards. We're also going to get Taylor Swift's Eras Tour picking back up again in Japan.
Right.
And then we're going to get Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl.
This might be...
The world might explode.
I do feel bad for Usher.
Like, I do. I don't even feel bad for Usher. The pop culture world literally might... explode. Like what am I gonna,
that's speaking of watching this as a series, this could not be leading toward more of like a climactic,
this is gonna be my least productive week I've ever had in my entire life. Like, all I'm gonna do is sit there and watch videos and look at photos all week. So anyways, that's what I've been listening to. What about you?
Okay, for me, I listened to this great podcast episode and I have like 10 minutes left, so I can't. Maybe it sucks the last 10 minutes, but I don't think it does. We talked about this previously, Blackberry, an amazing movie.
Yes.
Written, directed, and also starring Matt Johnson from Toronto here. Amazing, creative person. Yeah. I love him. He's on one of my favorite podcasts as well. You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. And I was just like, this is a match made in heaven. Pete Holmes had on Glenn Howerton.
Yeah.
That's why I was going to misspeak there when I was going to say Glenn Powell, who I now separate
different.
The two Glenns.
Got it.
But it is like such a, I'm a huge fan of his web series, Matt Johnson's web series, Nirvana, the Man, the Show, which is from here as well. And actually features the Rivoli, which we have a connection with. So I'm saying there are a lot of connections going on here. Okay. And if you're at all interested in filmmaking and the filmmaking process, especially in Canada, and just like the ins and outs of comedy, I would recommend this.
What's something that you did this week?
Okay, Sarah, I booked my next tattoo. It's been a little bit. It will have been 8 months since I got my last tattoo, I think.
Crazy.
Spacing-wise, which was in Barcelona, I guess. And that was kind of on a whim. So I didn't have like a set booked appointment to look forward
when
to.
When is it happening?
For a long time. Okay, it's not until March because the guy was really booked up. But I'm excited.
What are you going to reveal what you're getting, or is it going to be a surprise? Like, we have to follow you on Instagram.
Okay, there was a little bit of a promotion. It can be a surprise for the actual visual, I guess, because I'm not going to do a good job describing it. But essentially, it's a floating bear. A little bear paws up.
I'm sorry,
there.
A floating bear. Yeah. Wouldn't anything that's like on your body like couldn't represent that it's floating? What do you mean a floating bear?
Okay, it's like, you know, a big grizzly bear, but picture a big grizzly bear just floating, chilling in
the
river.
Is there going to be water, or is it just going to be the bear floating? It's like
it's
the
really
river
hard to describe.
Is your
you can't
skin.
Really see. Exactly, yes.
Got it.
It's
okay.
Kind of that, which is really hard to describe. Mm-hmm. I'm finding actually right now.
I have a
right
visual
now.
In my head, so now I'm excited to see if it's going to match.
But it was very cool, and I'm just, like, there's not. Anyone gets tattoos, and I was going to put this to you because I'm like, when's your next one? Because there's nothing like having your next appointment booked. So I was like,
because I've never booked appointments to get tattoos. I've only one. I did it a walk-in. I feel like I need to, you're right, book an appointment for my next one because I know what my next one is going to be. I just haven't actually booked it yet.
Okay.
So we'll see.
What about you? Something you did this week, Sarah?
Well, if you're watching the YouTube version of this, which shout out to those who watch on YouTube, I dyed my hair blonde.
It looks great.
Blonder. I did balayage because I'm too lazy to go back to Coburg every few weeks to get my roots done.
Give us the insight into making a change.
Well, I felt like my hair was looking pretty flat and dead. And do you want to know what's crazy? Is I don't realize how like unhealthy and flat it was looking until I looked at the video, even from like, I did a little transition video and I look at my hair from the day before and I was like, oh, whereas like, I thought that was a good hair day. And then now I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. No, it wasn't. So it's so funny. My hairdresser, like it's one of my very good friends. I've known her since I was like 5 years old, like she who does my hair back home. And she literally told me, she goes, I didn't know if it'd be rude, but I almost messaged you to be like, hey girl, do you want to book an appointment with me? Like, I think you need to get your hair done.
No.
I said to her, I'm like, honestly, just do it next time. I'm too busy to think about it all the time. Anyways. So we're back to blonde. Actually, Tara just dyed her hair brown.
You've swapped.
So everyone's saying it's swapped because you have to have one bestie that is brown hair, one is blonde hair. That's just the rule. So we swapped a little bit. I like when I have blonder hair. It's been a while. It's been a few years, honestly. I didn't really do it when, after I like had my hair loss stuff, I was like stayed away from like bleaching it all and everything. So we'll see how long I like it for.
Is this the first time you've colored your hair since?
I've done like highlights, but this is the most color I've had since. Right. Like people who followed me in 2020 know my hair was like blonde. I was like a little bleach blonde with like a little bob or whatever. So yeah, it's a change, but I like it. I keep forgetting I dye my hair though. So then it's like, I look in the mirror. It probably doesn't even look that different to most people, but I'm still not used to it. So when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, whoa. And it's a good whoa, but
yeah,
it's still
like
a whoa.
Yeah, there is nothing like changing the appearance a little bit. Sarah, somewhere you went this week.
I went to a movie premiere. Well, it was a movie screening. It wasn't actually a premiere because they actually premiered it at TIFF. But I went to this movie called Fitting In, which is a Canadian film, Canadian director, but it stars Maddie Ziegler, who was on Dance Moms. So like, it was so crazy, like seeing her at the theater. And I'm like, I've watched you on television since you were like 7 years old. It's a very weird thing. Like, she's only 21. Like, here I am thinking like she must be older, but no, she's only 21. So it's a coming of age story, but it's a based on the director's like life and her story with MRKH, which is like a reproductive condition that women are born without a uterus. And so you can't really have sex, and there's like all, or as defined by like whatever normal societal sex is. So it's about this 16-year-old girl that gets diagnosed with it, and like her having to go through all of like the fitting in at school and trying to figure out what that looks like. And she has a boyfriend, and what does that mean? And trying to figure out like, where does it land with her sexuality and who she is and like being a woman and everything. And it's a really, like, it was so interesting because one, I had never heard of this condition before. So learning about that. And two, Maddie Ziegler really impressed me. I was so impressed by her performance. I mean, I think we just see her as a dancer. She's in Sia's music videos, like the Chandelier video and all those things. But seeing her seeing her acting in this, especially having to do such like a vulnerable performance, because like you're representing a community of people that like actually live with this every single day and what that looks like, right? So it was really well done. Props to Elevation Pictures. They produced it and invited me to the event, which was great. And yeah, I just was really impressed. So it's going in theaters across Canada, and so support some Canadian content if you get the opportunity to go. Highly recommend, especially for like, I think, you don't like teenage girls and stuff too. I think it'd for be sure. a really good like story just about, I don't know, coming of age and all that.
There is one, like one of the good things I think about like this streaming kind of new world of like movies as well, is that more niche content, more niche stories 100%. Do get told. Like I feel like this story probably wouldn't be told, what, 10 years ago?
No,
maybe?
Because especially when it was just like, there's only so many slots in a movie theater and so many slots for like weekends and stuff.
Where you have
like
to be this big cinematic masterpiece that's like a blockbuster movie to get screen time.
Exactly. And especially because it's like, it was all filmed in Sudbury. It's Canadian content. Like,
amazing.
And it was very well done. Like, very well shot. Like, the running joke in Canadian media is a lot of time you can tell if something was like Canadian, but it felt like Blackberry. Like, you don't realize it's a Canadian film, which I really loved. So I think that shift is definitely happening in the industry, which is really cool. But yeah, it's called Fitting In. I highly recommend. And it's also like very funny. Like, it was very good. Well done. So
shout out Maddie Ziegler.
Yeah,
no idea
shout
she
out
even
Maddie
acted.
Ziegler. I didn't either. And she's in like two movies. She's in another movie that just premiered at Sundance now. Yeah, yeah. Like, she's like, I think she's probably about to like be on the up and up now. Yeah. What about you? Where somewhere you went?
Okay, this one is a good lead in actually, because I went to the album listening party of Kaiza. I talked about this last episode, and we'll talk about this when we actually get to the interview block of this. But I think maybe we manifested this interview.
Really quickly too. That's a quick manifestation.
I know, it was
by
in
you.
My last, what am I listening to this week? Her first single came out off the album when I mentioned my friend Sugar Jesus, who I've talked about on this podcast before. Great track. Excited to have Kaiza here, and it was a cool event that we'll be talking about more after. Okay, well, Sarah, I teased on the other side of the break that I think this was the first manifestation that happened on Talking Fast.
This is
because one episode prior in what I was listening to, I said that I was listening to Kaiza's new track, Heaven Ain't Calling. And one episode later, we have in front of us Kaiza and your songwriting partner and creative collaborator of many different mediums.
So many things.
Kay.
So many lifetimes.
Welcome, Kaiza and Kay. How you doing?
We're good.
Thanks
for
coming
on
Talking Fast.
Saying this was the fastest manifestation ever. Like, and it was literally last week.
And we were talking very fast. You're like, hi, so good to see you. Nice to meet you. You're the guy with the podcast. Cool, let's do it.
Exactly.
Can we when are you available? I'm like, I'm leaving soon. And you're like, we got to get you in. I'm like, yes, fast. And you're like, okay, we'll get back to you. And you're like, go. out of time.
Well, it was so funny because Sugar Jesus, who also produced your new album, was also at this album listening party, of course, and he caught me on the way out. And like you said, that's how it went down, of making connection. I was like, oh, well, how, when are you leaving? Like, how soon or how many days do you have left? And it was only a couple. So I'm glad that we could fit it in and you're actually able to make it here.
And he's been telling me about you two for a while.
Oh, amazing. Well, oh, my God. Boots on the ground promo. Yes. I love to see it.
Real friendship.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, and I did want to start off because I've seen you actually mention Sugar Jesus a few times of how you started collaborating, which I think is a funny story.
Yeah.
So can you tell that story?
Yeah. I was basically coming to Toronto. I have a house here and it's just a long story. It flooded and it's been in this long insurance battle because, you know, insurance never wants to pay.
Yeah.
Nope. And never. So... it's just been forever. And so I was coming here to deal with the flood and like rebuild the showers and do all this stuff ahead of time to stop the flooding. And it was really stressful work. So I was not coming to create at all.
Right.
I was like, I'm here to do
doing renos
stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm here to be a human. And but my manager, Leoba, was like, hey, Casey, do you want to write with someone? I have a list. Like 12 people. And I'm like, I just glanced. I didn't even really look. I was kind of like, let me just look at this.
Yeah.
And I saw like Sugar Jesus. And I was like, who is that? What is this name? Who, like, what's behind the name Sugar Jesus? I need to know.
It's a wild name. When I met him, he was a little coy about what he actually does. So I didn't know him by Sugar Jesus. But when he told me that, I also was hooked.
It's one of those things where it's like there's a story there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a whole clothing line and everything.
Like, 100%.
Yeah.
Maybe candy or something as well.
Yeah, I think exactly. Candy is the main route.
Yeah.
I think we've thought about candy before. I think candy is it.
So you threw down, you just started this, you had one session with him, is that right?
Yes, and we wrote the first and the second single, actually. So the next single that you're going to hear, were both written in the same session.
Amazing.
Birth out of a flooding house and like and dealing with insurance. That's crazy.
I know, it's like the Great Flood brought on this.
The Great Flood.
Okay, because that's a good transition, because speaking of actually the writing process as well, as someone who is completely not a musician, and that is not my field house at all, what does an experience look like for that? And then how do you collaborate with other artists, creatives like Kay on the writing process?
Well, let me tell you. So basically these two songs emerged, and the one that's coming out next was not fully finished. It was like the chorus was there, the pre-chorus was there. The verses were kind of like uncertain. I was like, they're kind of placeholders. And then I started opera singing on it as well. There was ideas, you know. But the essence of it was like this. It is going to be the title track of the whole project. Mm-hmm. But the sound of Sugar Jesus and myself working together was just, there was something special there, and I knew it. And I was, at the time, I was thinking I'm almost ready to start my next album. So I just asked him. He was like, hey, Can we put out this song together? And that was Heaven Ain't Calling. I was like, yeah, but also, do you want to like do my album? So that's why the song Heaven Ain't Calling is Sugar Jesus and Kai's song together.
Right.
It started this whole thing. And then from there, I was like, well, I actually love this collaboration. I have this gut feeling about it. But I was coming out of a very serious healing process of about 5 years at the time of a head injury, very brutal head injury from a car crash. And it kind of took me on this whole healing journey, but I also had become quite a different person through that process. And I wasn't fully sure who that was.
Mm.
And Kay and I also met very randomly.
We did.
It's all very, the stars align. In the midst of the pandemic, one of our friends who's a songwriter kind of managed to put together this writing camp with like 7 COVID tests before you can even get in.
Yeah, no, it was like out of control. Like,
good old days.
To even get in, it was like very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to go. We were kind of like,
none of us really wanted to go.
Yeah,
but loved Jenna. Like,
yeah,
not
we
because
love her.
Of that.
We just didn't really feel like going. Neither of us were. It was like, again, I didn't feel like writing at the time.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like when you're not looking for it, it's like what they say about love too. It's like you're not looking for it though, and then sometimes like that's where
I was like feeling pressure. I was like, oh, maybe I should go. Maybe I'll check it out. I'm in the area.
I bought my ticket.
It was like far
a day before.
It wasn't conveniently placed. Like, so I Yeah, exactly. You came a day before. I just sort of showed up randomly.
Where was it?
New Jersey.
Okay.
New Jersey. So it's also
it's like 40 minutes wild, outside of New York into New Jersey.
At that time, you were kind of outside of New York, right? I was in LA.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know, man. It's just feeling like, who are these people that are going to be there? I'm like, no. Anyway, a friend of mine, friend of ours too, another friend, Cody.
Cody, yeah.
Reaches out to me and he's like,
I didn't know. I met him there. I
thought you knew him. Okay. No. So I knew him and he was like, are you coming to this writing camp? And I'm like, are you coming? And he's like, yeah, can you please come?
It's
and
like, I'll go if you go.
Okay. But he happened to really want to go. He actually did want to go. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll come. And the whole first 2 days, I think I was 2 days before you were there. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Everybody was so wonderful, but it was a different vibration. And I was like, I just felt like really old there. You know, I was like, oh my God, this is like a party place. And I came here and I'm here for weeks.
Right.
And then Kaisa walks in the door and I was like, okay, this could be something. We didn't work together the entire time.
We kind of avoided each
other.
We're like, oh,
we
avoided
oh my God, playing each other. Together. Like, but we would find each other in the kitchen and say something very intense to each other. Yeah. And then walk away.
Exactly. We're kind of like doing the whole cordon thing.
A little bit of slow burn.
We did a slow burn for the collaboration.
Yeah, it's like we knew we were going to meet in this lifetime.
We knew.
We're kind of like,
did you
we're
like, write oh, man, together at all there or no?
There was one song that I miss my friends that there was a chorus that I also was like,
involved in this song, by the way. It was like it's like 12 people.
12 people there.
Because they were all together on the piano.
We're all together.
We are the world moment.
You couldn't quantify who wrote
this.
Right.
No.
I wrote the word the.
I actually don't believe I wrote any parts of it, but like I think I sang in it and then maybe like one mumble.
I definitely wrote one verse entirely.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the chorus was just all kind of mumbling together. I don't know. I don't honestly, the song's never going to come out,
but
guys.
But did you pick up on the vibes of each other? Is that what I'm gathering?
I think we picked up on the vibes of each other as soon as she walked in the door. We had a moment. We looked at each other and we were like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, we were like,
it was like, oh, here's what we came
to get with each other.
We did.
So then what was the moment that you guys like really started collaborating together then? Like, what did that look like?
It was very late. We had talked at the kitchen
table. Actually, after we recorded the I Miss My Friend song, I was sleeping in that studio room, because mind you, this is a giant house, but it's like 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
So I was sleeping there and I stay there, and then Kaisa was gonna like go upstairs and then she turns around and she's like, we need to talk. Oh. And I'm like,
drama.
Right. I was like, right. And she was like, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm like, me too. She's like, we have to talk. And I'm like, yes. Oh my God. And then we talked.
The conversation got wild fast.
Fast.
Yeah. And I know Jenna was like secretly staying on the beanbag.
She did. She was pretending. She did. We love her. Jenna, love you so much. Love you for this. But yeah, she was. You were awake.
Eavesdrop moment.
Yeah, she was awake. She was awake.
My producer brain is just going like, where are the cameras for a songwriter's head?
Yeah,
like,
wait.
That's like a reality show waiting to happen
in my
brain.
Were you sharing in that like conversation any like good ideas that maybe are going to be released by someone else?
The thing is like, we weren't truly even thinking about the writing. I think we were just excited to like feel, it felt like we found somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that with somebody that you're like, okay.
And we were sharing,
this is a part of what's to come.
We were sharing some wild things that happened to us that we probably shouldn't tell anyone.
Well, multiple times we basically were like, I don't know why I'm telling. This is not, I shouldn't tell
is
you this.
That maybe I though then like is that a good foundation of a creative relationship then? Because I know when I'm working with anyone, like I'm not a songwriter, but I, you know, have different creative pursuits of my own, and I know that like the basis of when you step into a room with someone or have a conversation with someone, and you can be a little bit more vulnerable in that sense.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Building trust is probably the best way to build a foundation for a creative partnership. Is that?
Yeah, it's being vulnerable, but also allowing a person to reach into you and pull something out that you didn't know was there.
Right.
Totally.
Or you didn't really want to access necessarily. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay. You're like,
so did that. Yes. So did that kind of help then lead into this new album and maybe wanting to produce music again?
I invited her over. I started starting up, and this is all well before meeting Sugar Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I was working with a friend that I hadn't worked a lot with either. He's a producer. And I was just texted her and I was like, do you want to do a session?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she shows up and we wrote the dirtiest song.
Dirty.
It was just
dirty.
And we were dirty. We were just laughing so hard.
And then we wrote
hard,
multiple like, dirty songs.
We're like, we can't say this. And we're like,
but we can. Yeah,
but you can. We will.
No, it got dirty. It got very dirty.
And then we were like, let's just make it more dirty and dirty. And we were like, let's just do a whole project about sex.
And then we got to a place that I feel like just started spending a lot of time together and getting to know each other. And it was very much what she was saying about pulling something out of each other. And it was like, okay, this is awesome. And this is what the world wants to hear. From mm-hmm. basically the next like Kaisa album, but what does Kaisa wants to say? And I think that was very special.
And it wasn't that. Although the songs are really good.
Yeah,
like, we can play it for you later.
I mean, there's a few in the album that are not those dirty songs, but they're dirty too.
They're like the cousins.
Yeah, but they're the cousins. They're the cousins that are just like a little more animalistic, and you know, it's like.
But
a
they're very connected. Like
they are.
They're deep.
But I love that because, like, I always think about how, I mean, I can imagine, like, songwriting or people assume songwriting and, like, creating music can be such, like, a siloed experience, I feel like. I think, like, when people think of a songwriter, I think sometimes people think, and we've had other, like, writers on here where they think of someone just, like, writing in their bedroom, like, and it's just you're in a silo where I like what you've said, like, when you're collaborating with someone, sometimes they can see a side of you or something that you do that you can't see in yourself.
Totally.
And it can help challenge you a little bit. And so then I feel like you can create even better music and storytelling from that.
There was writing in my bedroom and all that. It's just what I would do is I wouldn't overthink it, and I wouldn't try to force the song out in that moment. I just get whatever came to me in that moment. There's a lot of 4 a.m. writing where I was like sneak out and like just be like whispering on the mic, and then I'd have something beautiful, and then when we got together again I'd be like, hey, I have this, but it's missing something, and then we figure out what it was. So the next single that's coming out, like, we just didn't have the verses, and she just came in and just like slayed. Was like, let me just
look. You know? She's like, don't worry. I think it's also,
I got you. You know, I think it's also like the end. Like, I think there's something very special about the project, which, yes, it's beautiful songwriting, it's beautiful producing, and everything that came together. But I think the most beautiful part about it is the energy that was in this project. The energy of this project is an energy of like, you can see. It's like when you can see a movie and you can see people falling in love. Mm-hmm. I think you can see our friendship and our relationship just being and what each of us bring to each other, to be honest. And in this project, and even with the little sounds and like, you know, it was a beautiful way of challenging each other into seeing exactly like what the other person sees. And with obviously with Sugar Jesus, the same thing, you know, like it's just like pulling that from each other and being like, it could be riskier. We took a lot of risk, I'd say. We took a lot.
And there's a lot of times we had tension. It was like,
yeah, because it happens. We're passionate.
Yeah, you know? Like, and even Heaven Ain't Calling, I was like, I want to put a banjo on this.
Yeah.
And Sugar was like, no, it's like a house track. And I was like, I'm putting a banjo on. He's like, it doesn't need a banjo. It's done. And I was like, okay. I just went and did it anyway.
And then I was like, and me as an outsider, I'm just, since the creativeness here, and I'm like, a banjo makes total sense.
And I was like, okay, I need you to analyze these banjos and tell me which one is the best. And I was like, this banjo.
You know what's so
funny? The banjo has to be here.
It's so funny you say that, though, because I heard that you, or saw it in another interview that you had said that, and I really hadn't clocked it when listening to it
that there's a banjo.
But you're so right talking about like the process of layering and working with other people. There have got to be so many different like little sounds or tidbits that you don't expect when listening, maybe like the first time or super in-depthly to hear, but it probably changes the sound
totally
it's
all in the details, you know. Also it's like a good movie, you know, like you keep watching it and then you find this little like cookies like hidden around it. It's to me, a body of work is the same. It's like you can listen to music in an album multiple times and find new things that are just like weaved into it through details.
Like, for example, whale sounds everywhere.
Are there?
Whales. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yes.
She's obsessed with whales. Obsessed. And so she is the official whalist on the album. We actually created a title for that.
No way. Yeah.
She comes we in, have many titles.
She puts the whales in.
Did you go to the really cool whale exhibit that was at the ROM when it was here?
I did. Well, I live in LA, so no. But we did have a beautiful experience. And what was it, Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. So she has a special connection to whales, right? So she's like, she pretty much is a whale.
Okay. I was one in life or something. Like, something happened there.
And
something
know her. Or something. And they something happened come there. To her. So we went, actually, we were rescuing a dog together.
We did, yeah. We parented a dog together for a while.
It was like a starving dog that was dumped on the road. And it was really like, it did not know how to live in a house. And it was really just, she was starving. And so it needed a lot of attention. So we went up to my mom's
She's
house.
She's good now.
Together.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, we went up together and brought this dog to like heal her for a month. And in this process, a friend of mine who's a sailor put us in touch with his friend who takes a whale boat out. And because we were like, we want to see whales. So they're like, yeah, there's like one or two around that we've seen. So maybe we can see one of those. And
good luck.
We're not sure. It's hard to tell.
Well, so it's like, you're not guaranteed to see one.
Yeah, yeah. So we like tell the guy, we're like, we need to see a whale.
Yeah. And, also, we go like, we want to see a humpback whale. And he's like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's really difficult like, these days.
Yeah. He's like, it's hard to... You know, hard to pick the whales. So, but anyways, he's like, okay, let me, I'm just going to drive out a little further. He's like, we may hit nothing though, but I'm good. Cause there was one whale they had a certain spotting on, but everybody was going to that one whale. So there's tons of boats just hovering around this one whale.
So she would just sink down because obviously they don't want,
so he's like, why don't we just head out really far? And he was asking, he's like, do you mind if we just go really far and see what happens? And we're all like, yes,
like
and
into Mexico.
Other people are kind of like
so how far is far? Kind
of like, what do you mean by far?
Does everybody have their passports on the boat?
Yeah. We're like, we're good, everybody. We're like, no, we're good.
Citizen of the world.
He heads out. We're not finding anything for a while. For a whale.
For a whale.
Yeah.
We will not finding anything for a whale.
We will not find anything for a whale. But so we get out and finally he's like, I see something. And then and so we kind of head towards it, and suddenly it's like, wait, there's another.
More.
It turns out there was, we found 100 humpback whales.
No.
Which they travel by themselves, by the way.
Like,
never seen before.
Never gonna happen again.
Doesn't happen.
They're solo. We found 100 humpback whales.
Wild.
Hanging out together.
So like, this it has to go on. It has to go on the album.
It was absolutely. Yeah, no, it has to go on everything. Literally everything.
Kay looks down and this she's is like, a whale. Oh, I've seen that whale before in California.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a very distinctive tail.
I know this tail. Like, yeah. Oh, they
and the color too. Like, he was like very dark whale, which is rare. It was like a very dark whale. So I was like, is that normal? And then like, obviously the actual whale is there. Is like obsessed taking pictures of all these thousands of whales.
Yeah.
And she's like going through the book and being like, no, it's not normal. It must be the same whale. It's the same whale.
Are like, both of you kind of like that? Because I don't know how many people were on the boat, but it's like
there were a few.
If there were 10 people on the boat, I would imagine in any situation similar to that, there would probably be 8 people that wouldn't say no, let's not do this. But like, does that build the bond as well when you have someone maybe as wild as you are to let's lean into.
She thought we were crazy.
They think we're crazy all the time. We go out to dinner and they're like, no, why? And we're like, what? You don't eat like with your hands? This like soup? Soup? You don't like what? Yeah. Touch it. We're that. Yeah.
I love that. I think that was on display a little bit too, in like the best way possible at the album listening party. Because I don't know how much you want to give away about like the experience that was had there.
You can talk about it.
At the album listening party, like each song, it wasn't like any other album listening party that, you know, is probably your typical run of the mill. Let's go to an event space and hit play.
Right.
There was a full performance tied to each song, ranging from drag to a music video to striptease to all sorts of stuff.
My friend doing a hula hoop stripper last. Yes. While we threw money at him.
Yeah, really? Ben.
The whole crowd.
Shout out to Ben.
I got like $1,100 bills and gave it to the audience. And they just started throwing money.
Which, by the way, were very realistic. And Deadmau5 put actual $200 of real money in there.
Yeah.
No, really? Yes,
there was real $200 bills.
Okay, I clocked that too because I looked down. I was like, whoa, where did they get this money? Like, is it fake or is it?
Yeah.
It's very real looking fake.
There were two real $100 bills.
Yeah, and people found them.
Incredible.
Found them.
I wanted to ask, though, how important, because you look at music and your average listening party and, you know, releasing music can be fairly dull, I think, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. This was anything but dull.
It was and like, people were screaming at this, yeah. like just the whole time. They were like,
yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Do you think that working with other artists in other mediums elevates mm-hmm. your work or inspires mm-hmm. it in
absolutely.
Any way?
Well, absolutely.
When I release music, it's no longer mine. It goes to the people that I make it for, and mm-hmm. they interpret it in their own way. They do their drag show to it, or they I don't know, put it behind their video, or they create their reels to it. It becomes a part of their own life. So it's only mine until I put it into the world. So for me, even for myself, I wanted to see other people interpret the music with their own artistic integrity. And I didn't know the show, but I'd never seen it. Like, I just said, just surprise me. I want to watch. I want to be as
no
so that was your first experience.
Yeah,
like, all of the craziness was yours.
Any
as
of
well.
Them.
Like, oh, I
it
love
it. Was new
that.
For me too. I was like, I want to hear. I've heard this music
Full
so
trust.
Many times.
Full trust.
Yeah.
What's weirdly cool though is like my brain goes to then like say you're to do like shows in the future and stuff. Like, who's to say now that you're not like, oh, I would have never thought of like taking that interpretation of this song or something,
totally.
The way that they perform or something that just like gets the creative ball rolling even more. I would assume.
What I love about that too is like I've talked about this on this podcast nonstop of how I kind of live my life with a soundtrack running the entire time, so, listening
as
to
you
different
should.
Music
Jacob
for different vibes.
Summer.
Yeah,
as you
and
should.
I just
started this album can be your album of the summer.
I basically last episode said I haven't listened at that point. I hadn't listened to the whole album, but I was like, I'm calling it already. It probably will.
He did already say that.
So I'm someone who entirely lives my life with kind of a soundtrack playing nonstop, whether it's working out, just working around the house, cleaning, mm-hmm. washing my dishes. My Spotify Wrapped looks wild because of the amount of music that I listen to. It's a little bit scary.
And different
times.
Types same. Of music.
And yeah, across
same.
All cool. genres, yeah. all genres, all decades, kind of a little mix of everything. What it does for me, though, I feel like I'm in a movie all the time then, and I can kind of put on a different vibe when right. I need to maybe, like, have an emotional assist in either way, like, push
cry.
Me toward a little yeah. cry.
You started the sad song again if
yeah,
you didn't cry properly
exactly.
in the chorus. You're
and
like,
then,
yeah.
And then you got your playlist to kind of take you out of the cry and, like, move into something mm-hmm. a little more upbeat, maybe. I want to ask you both about how you go about emotional interpretation, I guess, because everyone Ooh. Has these, like, universal emotions that everyone feels, but then how do you use songwriting music to actually communicate that and I guess bridge the gap to people who don't come at it as someone who's creating music but totally relates to the feeling that you're putting into it?
That's a good question.
Very good question. You want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways to come at this. The chords and the tones of the chords often are the foundation of what sets mm-hmm. the mood, I find. Because mm-hmm. if you put like a major minor, I don't know, chord, it's going to get like, it's going to sound like a horror movie. Like chords right. already convey emotions as they are. So but even keys, different keys within, like if you get really specific, different keys, one sounds brighter, one sounds, you know, sadder. Mm-hmm. That's getting very specific. And I tend not to overthink in that sense, but if I want to go for a sad sound, I'll go into more into the minor keys and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't always work that way. I mean, I work from many different ways. If I'm feeling an emotion and I don't really know how to get it out, often I'll just pick up a phone and start abstractly like writing the images that I'm seeing in my imagination. Oh. I'll just be like, "What? Give me an image," and I'll start writing what that is, like it'd be like a dark mountain or something, and then I'm like, okay, how do I work this into lyrics mm-hmm. as a metaphor? So I might expand out from that metaphor, and then I try to bring it into the present from there. And this is just one way of doing it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. There's many ways.
Often, because if you get the chords and you feel like, okay, these chords feel right, a lot of times in the way we work a lot, and we'll just get on the mic and we'll start freestyling
blackout.
To the melody itself. Yeah.
Yeah,
just gibberish until the melody fits and it finds its flow within that, and feels like it's telling a story
mm-hmm.
without any lyrics. It's just to get it just flowing, and then from there, often within that flow, you actually pick out a few words that you do say, because as you're feeling it, you start to say things that are honest, Mm-hmm. It might just be a few words, but you just try to capture those few words that are truly honest, mm-hmm. that go with that emotion that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And then you build out from there.
Yeah.
So that's another way of doing it. But it's essentially, it's all a feeling. Mm-hmm. You feel when it's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it get exhausting, or is it more of a release to feel through things while
I think writing? It depends. It gets exhausting if you fight it.
Right.
Okay. Like everything. It will get exhausting if you fight it. But if you surrender, I think to me, to add to that, is like when we do things together in the way that it happens to be that Kaisa and I work very similarly. So I think that's also why we click right in the beginning. But it's so much about, I've had a similar question asked to me before, like actually about a week ago, about what to say to people that would want to, you know, feel more emotion or things like that when they're creating. And writing and creating comes a lot with just experiences and just allowing mm-hmm. yourself to experience life. And just that will allow you to not identify the feeling, but for example, let's say she comes in the room and she's like, hey, this is what I put these words together. I'm feeling this. This is what I'm feeling and want to write about. Maybe I didn't have the same experience, life experience that she did to get to that feeling. Mm-hmm. But since I've allowed myself to experience multiple things and be open to that, I can see one other experience that will make me feel that. Let's say it's mm-hmm. about loss. And she tells me and explains to me, this is the loss I had. Then I will find a loss in my life and be like, I also have one. Let's go from here. And then you take that out of it and you just stay with that feeling and share it. Mm-hmm. And you just basically, like, it's almost like it's a healing, you know, that you do to each other, with each other. And then it just becomes what somebody else that might be experiencing loss that is mm-hmm. different than hers or mine can relate. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
we talk about therapy. I'm sorry. I just like had this light bulb go off because we talk about therapy so much on this podcast and about, like, so when you were saying when you surrender, like, it actually is like the release, and that, like, I feel like it's like the parallels of like creating and songwriting and trying to like find those emotions feels very similar to when you're working through stuff, maybe for like the everyday person that's not a songwriter. When you're finally able to just like release the emotions, that's where you're right, the brain fog goes away, and like the feeling of stress or exhaustion, because you're just able to finally like take a breath. It feels like songwriting and creating music is a very similar experience.
Well, and that's why songwriting is therapy. Mm-hmm. When you put it out, people actually use music for their therapy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is the best therapist.
Exactly. And most therapists include music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I send my therapist music all the time. I go, this is how I'm feeling. And I send her a song because I go, they look, they can say it better than I can most of the time. Or it's like, you didn't know you were feeling something until you did it. So I actually want to go off of Jacob's question a bit, because you were talking about like how you pick like albums and songs for different emotions. What would you guys say are like the biggest emotions that are represented on this album?
Mm. Love.
Love and the shedding of layers, actually.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, and if you look at it kind of like the eggshell, mm-hmm. this it's really actually not an album, it's a volume, because there's actually more volumes to come. Mm-hmm. So it's a larger body of work than what you're getting in the next few months. But really what holds us back, even creatively, mm-hmm. is these ideas about ourselves that aren't true, mm-hmm. that build these layers that people call the ego. Mm-hmm. The ego is not really a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's pretty misrepresented. But I like to think of the ego more like the cup that holds the water. Hmm. But it's actually really what's inside of that cup. You see, you're holding the cup and you can see through it, but it's really what's inside that's creating mm-hmm. all of it. So whatever you're holding within yourself is going to create what reflects. And we put over all these layers over ourselves to protect ourselves, ultimately. Mm-hmm. It's all protection. It's all survival. Mm-hmm. And it could be from when we're a child. It could be from a breakup or a mm-hmm. loss or something. And we want to protect ourselves. We don't want to feel that. And then we add layers over layers over layers. But that brings us farther away from this true, pure signal that's coming from deep, deep within ourselves. That's mm-hmm. It cannot be tainted. It's pure. But we get pulled away from it because we have so many layers. So mm-hmm. I don't believe that there is any rigid creativity. Creativity is flow. It's a river. So when you can puncture a hole through those walls, even for a moment, mm-hmm. you might have all these layers, but just for a moment, you open a little door mm-hmm. and it flows out, and you just, it all comes out instantly. The songs we wrote, there was no hard moment. It's effortless.
It really is.
And those are the moments, those are the songs that people will instantly gravitate towards, mm-hmm. because they are honest. They come from a whole expression, from a whole source. And you'll even find certain artists who are closed themselves. They're able to open these little doors for a moment, and they put out the most mm-hmm. incredible, like they channel really from somewhere else. But you meet them in person and you're like, where yeah. was this coming from? Mm-hmm. And they are accessing. They just aren't able to give it to you mm-hmm. as a person. So,
well, it's like you're at 4:30 a.m. waking up to like, say, like maybe that's like the moment that it comes through. You just like totally yourself in that like voice note or something.
4 a.m. is the time.
Those are the good hours.
I feel like it would be.
You either go to sleep at 4 a.m. or you wake up at 4 a.m. But you will. I honestly think there is a collective consciousness. I know this for a fact. I've witnessed it many times. You write an idea, and simultaneously, and songwriters experience it a lot. Mm-hmm. Everyone comes up with the same idea. Mm. So if you think about 4 a.m. is a time when people are in their REM sleep. And mm-hmm. so collectively, people are in their dream state, and their dreams are talking. So if mm-hmm. you're awake at that time, you're actually collectively receiving people's dreams. Mm-hmm.
And channeling that energy.
Mm-hmm. And you're channeling the abstract. So.
Well, it's also so funny yeah. because like speaking of shedding layers and the vulnerability and the different voices, I guess, in music as well, is that someone could have be tapped into that collective consciousness, but then kind of put that out mm-hmm. in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. Speaking of shedding layers, like you might have one musician that puts out a folk record that's mm-hmm. super relatable and about the same kind of, you know, stuff we're talking about here. This is a dance album as well, mm-hmm. which is something that like a lot of people probably maybe
dancing and crying.
Yeah. Which like maybe wouldn't be the first thought of someone thinking about these topics within that type of music. So like, how would you approach talking about that? What made you want to do a true dance album?
Well, it's interesting because I've already played this for a few people in the dance world, and they're like, this isn't a dance album.
Oh, no?
Oh, really?
Well, because it is a folk album put together with a dance
right.
album.
Right. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for me, and when I talk about a whole expression, mm-hmm. I came up as a folk songwriter and a singer-songwriter with my guitar and my classical guitar writing poetry. But that side of me became my journal entries, and that's the side of me that heals me and gets me through life. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the side that I give to the world. It's the most vulnerable side of me as a musician. So it's actually quite hard mm-hmm. to put it out because it's so direct.
Right.
But I didn't come to music to be a famous musician. Music was a healing mechanism for me mm-hmm. growing up. And so that's the foundation of me as a songwriter. And then it spiraled, it snowballed. I had no intention of going to music college. I got in by accident. Like somebody just mailed a CD and I didn't even apply and I got in.
Oh, really?
Then I just decided to audition for Berklee College of Music and got like a full ride scholarship and went there and was like, okay, I think music wants me to,
yeah. right.
wants mm-hmm. me to be part of it. So wait, I lost track of the question again.
It's a dance album.
Yeah. So Hideaway was my biggest hit, and mm-hmm. When I was trying to make it as a songwriter, I was trying to get a visa in the U.S. So I wrote 50 songs in a month, and that was among them. But I could tell that this song was meant for my voice. I couldn't explain it, but mm-hmm. I couldn't pitch that song. It was really my voice and the song were one and the same, and mm-hmm. and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna hold it back on this one. I'll just put it out for fun. I didn't expect it to do anything, but lo and behold, it went massive, and I became a dance artist because mm-hmm. of that. But my first album is not actually a dance album. It's got like four dance tracks, an R&B track, has got like a little ballad, acoustic ballad, and a cover of What Is Love acoustic. And then after that, I was working on my second album, and that my producer actually ended up committing suicide in that process. It's been really hard because my best friend died during that time as well. So I went through this heartache followed to my dreams manifesting some of the worst heartache of my life. Mm-hmm. And then following that, I was in a car crash and I lost everything that I had built. So I was no longer able to do dance music for years. I had a massive brain injury. I could not be around bright lights, right. loud noises, mm-hmm. crowds,
everything that, with it. Yeah.
Yeah. that is dance music. Yeah. I couldn't do. So I had to either give up or I had to just decide what can I do? I couldn't play guitar. It was too much, but I could play ukulele. I could get away with that. So I started playing ukulele mm-hmm. and I did a little way too early in my healing. I was I crashed so many times and it was very painful, but I did a very short ukulele tour. And that changed my perspective, because I was so scared, and I booked really small rooms because I'm a dance musician and yeah. no hideaway, and I'm here, I'm coming with a ukulele tour, like mm-hmm. what? But they loved it. Some were like, that I love that even more. And it opened my eyes, because I was like, they'll receive me as long as I'm giving them a pure expression of myself. They will receive it.
Exactly.
And so then Crave came about, my second album. Basically, in the midst of my healing, I didn't have a lot of energy, but mm-hmm. I had pre-written a lot of like 80s tracks, because I love the 80s. You know, I've written in my time a lot of them. So I was like, you know, I have a bunch of these already, and why don't I just write a few more and make it easy, and I'll put those together. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, we have Crave. So there's time put into it, but I wasn't thinking I would do that as my second album. And then midst the pandemic, it was the most depressing mm-hmm. time in the world. And I was like, what better time for the most positive power pop 80s like, track, exactly. You know, like I think the world needs
time
this.
Is always perfect.
Yeah, and I didn't have a lot of time to put that together either. This next project has had years behind it. This is for me kind of like my first album.
Well, yeah, and yeah. so much like growth and change, I can imagine. Like, yeah. like you mm-hmm. kind of alluded to it off the top. Like you said, you're like a different person than when
it's like a new. It really is like the first album in a weird way. It's the one that has the most time put into it. I've taken that folk songwriter mm-hmm. and I've merged it with the version of me that the world knows and loves mm-hmm. and I feel like I found the best of both worlds, and having people like Kay to help me through this process, because it's a hard process digging up your soul, and you need support yeah. mm-hmm. you really need emotional support yeah. and sometimes I can't find my words. I've got a feeling, but I can't say something mm-hmm. but then she'll say something and it's like yes.
I think that's what makes it so important to, like, you know, open up yourself when you are willing to collaborate, for it to be honest, mm-hmm. because what you really want is to almost like entangle each other to a point in which, like, yeah, if something's missing in like how to say something, then like it's almost when you're so close to somebody that you finish each other's like words. That's exactly. the best room in which you yeah. can create music, because then it's the best song, mm-hmm. it's the best possible project and song and art and album and whatever you're doing that could be, because everybody's at their best mm-hmm. just trying to better one another and create this beautiful thing that ultimately is healing everybody in that room, because the vibration of that heals you, which yeah. is also why we love whales.
Because we love whales.
They vibrate in an open
heart. And this is such a unique process that like you create like, it was beyond just the music. I mean, Kay was involved in songs that she didn't write. Mm-hmm. Like she was involved in the overall vision of the album and what it meant and the mm-hmm. metaphors that went with it and mm-hmm. where things were going, that we actually created creative director of music, a new role.
Oh, I love that.
That love doesn't that. Exist. Cause we're like, what? There's no, like,
there's
like
no kids, celebration it's like, for anything. That's not what makes the world very comfortable yeah. and the world right. around. Right.
Well, but, it's yeah. also like, it's like, I feel like it's, if you're just saying, oh, you were just a writer, just pigeonholing necessarily what like somebody's contribution well, yeah, is when it's like you're doing so yeah. much more.
Hurting someone's creativity by mm-hmm. trying to just slot some, I mean, this is not just limited to creativity, but if you're slotting people into categories in any sense, you're mm-hmm. probably just like exactly. putting a cap on what might be.
Yeah. And if there's nothing to encompass what happened, you create it.
Exactly.
Everything's creative. So we co-creative directed this together, and
we wanted to make something beautiful, and
we've spent hours talking about
days
months years honestly.
It was pretty wild. Yeah, we spent a very long time.
Yeah. And this is
making
just
sure
this is just a crack in the eggshell where this is going.
Like, yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, because the album release, if the album or the album listening the volume, party yeah. was a taste yeah. of mm-hmm. like what's to come. What does that look like for releasing the rest of this portion?
There's a lot coming. I mean, there's some yodeling.
Oh, really?
There's some yodeling. There's some exciting. Wild. There's some wild stuff. There is a through line from the beginning to the end. There's a where it starts and where it finishes. Mm-hmm. There's purpose behind that.
I love that.
Some of the songs are not written yet. We're still mm-hmm. filling in some gaps.
Yeah.
Because it's important. I think one of the things that is most missing from music nowadays is time. Mm. you go, you're just, it's very assembly line. You have these songwriters, you go in, you write, they may have 3 or 4 sessions in a day. You write,
yeah,
you have a list of names that you want to write a song about. You write as quick as you can, go into the next session, and it's done. The producer does it, sends it to the label, they put it to the artist, and there was no time. Mm-hmm. This album, we put it away for a year and then came back and finished it.
Mm-hmm. With new perspective, new
because,
everything, right?
Yeah, we were growing through the process, and we actually didn't, it was a decision where we were, from cracking this eggshell of this album, started going through such intense growth together that we actually had to retreat.
Yeah. Did you think it was always, it was going to be shelved, or did you know that you'd be coming back?
No. It's independent. There's no shelving. Right, no one can shelve this project.
We just knew. It was actually a hard place for us to get to, because I feel we wanted to share it with the world because we loved it so much. Mm-hmm. You know, from the beginning, I think we loved it. I think we just loved everything from the get-go, and it was so hard to be like, it's, again, it's an egg. What's inside the egg needs to be ready to be born.
Right. Yeah.
We can't take it out too early, because even if you love it so much, it's not going to survive, because mm-hmm. it needs its own. It's like, it's a baby. You've made a baby, and every time you watch you, and as Kaisa said in the beginning, like, you leave it into the world and it stops being yours. Mm-hmm. It's the same with children. It stops being yours, but you're like
guiding it.
I love you. I'm gonna, but like, you gotta give it a shot.
Success as much as you can.
Give it a shot of success into being what it needed to be for the world.
Mm-hmm. And we made a lot of decisions about, like, in writing this, how we wanted to walk our lives. And some of them were quite bold and risky in the sense of not, I mean, it's vulnerable, mm-hmm. but we had to be ready to make that walk.
To be seen, is the thing that we were talking about today.
I spent mm-hmm. 5 months in Norway in a cabin with no Wi-Fi. Like, when I say I went away,
mm-hmm.
not just figuratively, like, literally, Instagram. I went away.
Yeah,
I disappeared.
What was that like? I know Sugar Jesus also mentioned that, because he went over for.
Oh, he went to visit. I didn't even ask him to come. He's just like, I'm coming.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, we might not get out of Norway, because it was like a lot of snow. Yeah,
right.
So he flies in and he's just like, I'm here. I'm like, okay, you're staying in my cabin with me. There's no Wi-Fi. I'm not even joking.
Just us.
That.
Yeah.
There's literally
and
none.
The snow.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, got it. And I there's obviously studios in town. We found a beautiful, an amazing studio in town, actually. But I lived very close to ski jumps. Mm. Just so happens that the day he arrives is like the World Cup ski jump competition. Okay. So I don't even know. And I'm just like taking him for a walk. And I'm like, and here's
just an average
jump.
Day in
and I'm like,
in
Norway. Oh, there's like a competition. And they're like, it's the World Cup competition. So we're like,
wow.
Oh. And there's like ski jumpers going overhead. So then the next day I'm like, let's go on a hike. And I take him up the hill and we get to the top. We actually accidentally ended up on the ski jump below the jump. And the ski jumper just goes right over the jump. And I'm like, okay, we should probably not be here.
Nope.
And like, he's like, this is so Norwegian. And then we ended up going to the studio and we wrote this one song, which is so great. So I'm yodeling on it. I'm telling you.
Incredible.
I'm cats out of the bag, kind of. I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm a world-class yodeler, but I'm like, I'm cracking the eggshell of
That's
that,
exciting.
You know? But we got caught in a blizzard in the studio, and we got snowed into the studio, and we actually had to dig our way out, not only of the door.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
We had to dig our way out of the door, and then we had to dig up the whole driveway. I don't know how this car moved. Like, we dug for hours.
Oh my God.
Talk about leaning into life, eh?
Like, yeah.
We were not getting, because we were on a mountain and there is no one coming to save us. So,
yeah.
So, wait, how, like, why Norway? Like, did you have, like, some, like, had you been there before? Like, was there a connection to Norway, or was it just like, I want to go somewhere super remote? Like,
I do have a connection. I like to mentor students. I'm very about giving back simultaneous. I think a lot of people like do their career and then they give back later. I think mm-hmm. I like to do it at the same time because it mm-hmm. keeps me grounded. Mm-hmm. And, it also keeps perspective on people who are entering the industry. Mm-hmm. It reminds you of where 100%. You came from, how hard it is to mm-hmm. enter, mm-hmm. and how few doors are open to people. And I want to be a person opening doors and championing the next generation. And I want them to surpass me. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many people, even at the same school I help out at, with being like, oh, I'm actually like potentially replacing myself, and out of kind of fear. And I ask them, well, why is that a problem? Like, you want them. You want to encourage mm-hmm. them to surpass you. You want them to step it up
yeah.
for the better of like humanity. That's amazing.
And you probably learn from them in the process, right?
Yeah, if one of my students that I work with puts out something that blows my mind, how proud will I be?
Yeah.
Of course.
Like, what? I couldn't even do that. That's amazing. Like, that makes me so happy. So this school, I actually created a method of unlocking the body through live performance. And it's a whole other journey with my trauma healing, because I had to do so much work with my own trauma from the car crash, which was very deep-rooted PTSD, not only from the crash, but I have a I have a very, very painful condition called cluster headaches. It's the most painful condition on the planet. Oh, and so I have PTSD related to even just knowing they might come.
Yeah, of course.
So, layers and layers of trauma. Mm-hmm. But what you'll notice, trauma really does get stored in the physical body. So I learned a lot on how to release that. And I'm actually quite a little magician with unlocking people's bodies now. So I can just look at a person and I can see where their trauma is immediately. And so what I do is I start tricking their brain to unlock it without them sort of realizing that that's what's going on. But the beauty of it is I'm not teaching them how to perform. All I'm looking is for their true self.
Right.
And when I can unlock their trauma, their true self just pours out. Like you punch a hole, it pours out. And so within about 20 minutes, you go from a person who's completely locked up and has nothing to give to you to a person who you feel them as like a stadium superstar. Mm-hmm. In a matter of 20 minutes. And so I've never had one, there's not been one student I haven't had a breakthrough with. I have a breakthrough with every student I work with. It's searching for the honest expression within themselves, and so you find it. And it's hard. Some are harder than others, way harder than others. And I've been so stumped with certain students, but it's a puzzle. You have to really go within yourself and be honest with yourself, because when you get stuck, it's often something you're blocked with within yourself. And so then I'll be like, okay, what is it within myself that I'm resisting? And then usually I get the answer, and then I bring it to them. So that's just a new thing I'm working on. And they kind of gave me free rein for a few months while I was in this cabin. So it was sort of like, hey, I'm going to go in a cabin by myself. I'll come in every once in a while. I wasn't all the time.
Yeah.
And I will work with your students, but it has to be on my own terms.
Yeah.
I feel like I have like 90 million more questions, and you're going to have to come back and do another episode. There is just like so many layers that we're talking about layers that we just like scratched the surface on. Like we literally could have done an entire episode on the whale story. Like that's literally
true. Yeah.
Watching well, there's more about whales.
We will be back.
We will be back.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately like I it's rare that you get to have a songwriter in the public, and that's a very underrated and the most important part of this industry are the songwriters and honoring the collaboration. And I think it's really important, and I think
that's what it is.
This album would not be what it is. I mean, Kay is embedded in the soul of this album. So
together.
Yeah.
Well, like whales. We're like whales. like two whales.
When this episode drops, I think the music video has just come out. So go check that out.
That's a whole other episode. Just the journey of this.
Like how you said there's ET's volumes. And we'll have volumes with you guys here on Talking
Fast. I think even
you
were confused when I sent it to you. I was just, it all happened by accident. So that's a whole other episode is about.
We'll get there.
We'll let everybody watch it and then take it in, and then we'll dissect it. We will wait till all five come out, and then we'll do a full anthology dissecting all of it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for coming on.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you
so much for listening. As always, you're here every single Wednesday. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, give 5 stars. Make sure you check out all the incredible music that these two are putting out into the world. We will see you next week. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.